Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, an update on Asa Bibi, miraculous deliverance, Egypt attacks, Christian pastor in Chinese prison, human trafficking, Bulgaria believers deliverance, Cameroon forgiveness, missionary widow. So stay tuned for more on those later. It is Wednesday, the 21st day of November, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Genesis chapter 32, verses 3 through chapter 36, verse 43. Obadiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 58, and also chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. By going to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com, you can listen to the latest radio shows and Bible studies, and also read the featured posts by the Watchman. The featured posts this week are The Attack to Defrock America and Its Dream, Devious Media, Scheming Socialists, and the Takedown of America. And Pat Buchanan says, before we were a democracy, we were a republic, and we were always more than just a polity. We were a people and a nation. Today we seem to be two countries and two people. And if that is true, a political system based on majority rule is not going to be strong enough to hold us together indefinitely. Also, credulity, choices, and consequence. Meeting America's last generation head-on with biblical truth. Biblical truth is at odds with human endeavor, aspirations, goals, and the daily grind of human life on planet Earth. God gave all people choice. It is in their best interest to make the best ones. In this we find credulity, lots of choices, and the consequences of these decisions. And also, America, blessing or cursing, a personal note. By God's grace, we endure from faith to faith, day to day, and pass by from trouble to endurance to an overcomer. The Watchman, Dana G. Smith. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com, where you can read the latest articles by The Watchman. You can follow us on facebook.com/warnradio. We also have three Twitter accounts, hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And this week we give an update on Asiah Bibi, then we discuss a miraculous deliverance for pastors, Cairo Church in Egypt is attacked, and Christian pastor now in Chinese prison, and the push against human trafficking, and a Bulgaria believer's deliverance story, plus Cameroon forgiveness by a missionary widow. Those stories and more as we have time. Now I welcome in the Watchman for our Prophecy News Hour, latest news, articles, and information concerning the days in which we live. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Glad it's Friday on Wednesday.
Yep, we're into the holidays now.
Yes, we are. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
And, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, I turn around and, oh, looks like our video stuck.
Great.
You know, I don't know what's the matter with it. I'm going to have to work on some things.
Okay, do you need to?
And we're going to have to stop this thing and do it all over again, I'll tell you.
Okay.
And I'm sure that it's this other thing here that has been a pain. And so it's the CyberLink, one of the things that I have. I'm sure that's what it is. It's just really, now I gotta, oh boy. Yeah, this ain't gonna work. I gotta get it all straightened out. But at any rate, nobody can see me doing this because it's not broadcasting right now. But at any rate, you know, I'm glad that we're, you know, down to the holidays. And
yes, me too.
You know, I mean, we've been working all this year, and we are going to be taking, having some extra time here. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that, there.
Did you get it?
Well, I think so. I don't know. It's just not exactly the way I... Just one of those things. Yeah, we got her. Looks like a mess. Looks like I got two gear shifts coming up, but they're actually part of my image that I have here. Okay, we'll start. Welcome all you on the video. Now, this thing started a couple of minutes into it because the video, one of my software messed up. I'm going to have to stop using it because no matter what I do to it, it just don't work. So at any rate, we are moving ahead with that. We got the video and it'll be uploaded. You haven't missed nothing. We were just doing small chat. And to all you who have been listening to me rattle on, sorry about that, but, you know, that's what we do here. Well, you know, we are professionals, and our engineer in the back room of this vast...
domain.
You know, this vast radio station that we have here, you know, he was busy, so, well, at any rate. Oh, by the way, we do not have all that. This is
Dana being facetious.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get on to the story because we don't want to lose our time.
No, we ain't going to lose it. We got all the time in the world. But at any rate, tonight we are going to be talking a little bit about Asiah Bibi. And, you know, the thing that is really bothersome about this case, you know, the UK, of course, turned down the asylum. You don't hear much from anybody else. Finally, Rand Paul talk to the president about offering Asiya Bibi and her family, asylum. And the Democrats as a whole, attack Trump and his administration because they want to protect the borders from a flood of illegals. And not one of them stood up to say anything about Asiya. You know, they're all for illegals coming across the border.
Yeah.
And these people were all brought up to the border in buses. And not to mention the fact, the latest on some of them, they were actually attacking Mexican citizens and causing trouble. And the Mexican army actually stood down. That's what the article was saying. You know, at any rate, I mean, it's just sickening how this young woman, Asiya Bibi, has been, acquitted by the Supreme Court, but then because of the Muslims who were rioting, which we knew they would. I mean, they do it all the time. And I've seen one photograph of a bunch of the radical Islamists over there in Pakistan, which they're all radical. And right at the head of them was about a 12, 14-year-old boy with a sign saying, "Hang Asiya Bibi." You know, and this is what they do to their children. They raise them up just like they are, and the children raise up to be twofold more the children of hell than they themselves are. Those are the very words Jesus told the Pharisees regarding how they did things. But we can see the same thing today. And so now Asiya Bibi is back in custody, and people are trying to track this, find out what they're doing, but she has been set up to have another appointment before a review board who will probably, could very easily find her guilty and overturn the Supreme Court and just kill her anyway.
Oh, I hope not.
And this is the thing that they said that they're keeping her safe, so they're protecting her, when in reality she's not released. She can't be released, and nobody now has stood up. The UK has said they won't take her, and of course they won't, because they have a bunch of radicals themselves, and they're having enough trouble controlling the radical Muslims over there. And not to mention the fact that even Canada now has asked the Muslims to judge their own people, because okaying a Sharia law for parts of Canada. And the UK has done the same thing. However, they said that their parliamentary law will prevail. So we see pretty much Islam taking over Europe, taking over the UK, taking over Canada, and many other nations. So we haven't even got to the end of days, nor the rise of the beast yet. So you kind of see the picture. Asiya Bibi is in Pakistan. And
one of the worst countries,
yeah,
towards Christians.
You know, and this is just absolutely unconscionable.
It is.
But we better get used to it, because there is going to be a lot of Christians being killed and martyred. There has been. We've reported on it. And when I go through some of my archives in 2014, 2015, we have vast news articles on ISIS going through there and what they did. And nothing has changed, really, except ISIS isn't going through what they were, but Islam is still on the rise, kicking, wanting to take over the nations. The nations, for their part, has given in to the Islamic jihad mentality.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's a shame.
And a lot of these parliamentarians in Europe and the UK and elsewhere, they have actually given in to the Muslim fervor that's within their own borders. And so we're going to have a lot of fun here if things don't change.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we've got our three. We've got a Muslim attorney general in Minnesota. We've got two Muslim Democratic senators now I think they're representatives of something. At any rate, the three of them are elected now. All of them believe in Sharia law. So, you know, for now, America's about the safest place. And I looked over on the ACLJ today, Tower, and they didn't have nothing on it. The last word from them, I actually reported some time ago. They said it was after Pastor Brunson, and they were celebrating that. And yet they said for Asiya Bibi, there's little we can do because she's not an American citizen.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So I don't know. They're already covering other issues. They're just, you know, there's just so many things going on here right now. And now there's a, and we have that story, the Chinese pastor that actually is an American, but he has a pretty big ministry, and he goes back and forth to China, and there's another place he goes to all the time. And the Chinese government, they picked him up and threw him in jail.
That's Pastor Kale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been praying for him for quite a while since I found out about it. It's been several months.
So, you know, you cannot get away from the hatred of what is going on towards the gospel. And just because they hate the gospel, that does not mean that we quit.
That's right.
We can't quit. There's no quit in it. And so no matter how many of our brethren get killed and martyred, it's our job to take up the flag. You know, that old song, Onward Christian Soldiers, wasn't meant really for the martyrs of Jesus. It was written for another time and another idea. But really, truly, that particular song, we could talk about that today. There are a lot of the Christian soldiers. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ.
That's right.
So we are facing a lot of problems, and Asiya Bibi, as the Gatestone Institute covered, said that her case looks as if it's coming from another medieval world, and it is the medieval world of ancient Islam, as Muhammad have given it, because we have a lot of Muslim nations today that are still living in the 14th and 13th centuries.
Yeah, nothing's changed.
No. They do have modern technology, however, but they're still living in the old ways. And this is, a problem. Now, Asiya Bibi, all she does, she was considered as unclean because she was a Christian. And she drank water, you know, out of a communal well, and then she tried to give a glass of water to her some of these Muslims that were working with her, and of course it just got worse. And the Muslim women now, you know, they now believe that the whole well is unclean.
How ridiculous! I think
because a Christian drank out of it. This is how unclean this whole thing is, and I don't mean Asiya Bibi, I mean Islam. You cannot, and this is addressed to Islam and to the nations, whether you like it or not, and that is that by the law, no flesh shall be justified before God. None of them will be justified, none of them will be saved. It's only through faith in Christ Jesus, only through the gospel. Our God and Father who gave his only begotten Son. That's it. And see, Muslims, you know, there's a lot of Muslims that really want to know the truth. They indeed, there's a lot of Muslims today that are indeed getting saved and coming to the Lord. But
that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. And the thing of it is that you can take Judaism as a law. And we have a lot of people that follow Judaism, but Judaism is not a redemptive portion, no matter what the Jews think. It's not going to redeem them. There's only one redemption. You know, Paul talks about that in Romans 11, that God had declared all guilty so that he might save those that would come to him. And so it's through Christ and it's through faith that they come. And, the Muslim women who are raging because a Christian is unclean have no idea that they themselves are unclean as well. but they're unclean in a worse way, because before God, they're not going to be justified. And the Christian, even if they kill her, this Christian will be justified before God because of faith in Christ. Now, this is what the battle is worldwide. It's as simple as that. And so, you know, Bibi has so far spent 8 years in prison and in solitary confinement much of that time. She was on death row. And so October 3rd of this year, Pakistan Supreme Court acquitted her. And, well, to make a long story short, she was finally released, and then she could never get out because they had to protect her. And then there was so many violent protests by hardline Islamists that the Pakistani government decided that they would review it. And this is a capitulation, of course. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that I don't think Pakistan should have any kind of aid from America for any reason whatsoever.
No.
And I don't think any nation should when they do things like that.
That's right.
But, see, this is the problem you have. You know, and Tower, you and I have talked about that. You know, in America, you know, we're not interested in having a Sharia America.
Oh, absolutely not.
We're not interested in having idiots in Washington submit America to Sharia law. That isn't going to work. And it ain't going to work at all in this country. We are not like the rest of the world. And the minute Washington starts cramming this kind of baloney on America, you're going to have full-scale war like you've never seen in this country. It'll make the Civil War look like kindergarten. And by the time it's done, there probably won't be very many people alive because it will be that devastating. And so it is one of those things that Washington, including the Democrats, need to get their heads out of the nether region and start thinking about what this country used to be. But trying to get a country to turn back and get God's blessings when they are against God in the first place, when the policies we do in this nation are absolutely unclean, when we kill so many aborted babies, and when we have openly declared other gods as well in this nation, and it's not going to work. And when you have a lot of Christian churches that are silent, that don't stand up, you got a big problem.
Yes, you do.
And so we don't know, and I don't think anybody knows, if and when this Sia Bibi will ever leave. We don't know where her family is, and I seen a report coming from her husband, I mean the attorney who had talked to her husband some time ago, and it had been some time ago, that said that Sia was doing good. She felt really, really good, and everything was fine in that regards, but nobody knows where they're at. Nobody knows where the family is. Last report was that they were moving every night, sleeping in a different place. I don't really know. And from what I've seen from International Christian Concern, from Gatestone Institute, even from WorldNet Daily, we get over to American Center for Law and Justice. They have older stories on there about her being released. There's very, very little. Barnabas Aid had some stuff on it, but nobody right now knows which way this is going to be. So you need to keep her in your prayers and hope and pray that Trump will indeed work something out to get this woman out of Pakistan.
Yes,
and her family.
We can only hope and pray.
Yeah. And so, and we do have another big story here that Tower is going to do. This shows me so much, Tower, when we read these things.
Oh, I know.
And the people that are reaching Muslims for Christ are other Muslims who became Christians, who found the truth, and God really backs them up with miracles and signs and wonders. It is an amazing story, this one. But we have covered, how many times have we covered this?
covered stories out of the Middle East?
No. Like this one.
Oh, I don't know. Quite a few.
Quite a few. Yeah, that's the answer. Quite a few. Okay. And all the names are changed to protect them, which is common. So, you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this story comes to us from Bibles for the Mideast. And it's two of the pastors are Pastors Viro and Althoff. And they were visiting an Arab Muslim in his home in the Middle East. And they shared the gospel with the man and his whole family, and they listened intently. And as leaders of the ALG, the Assembly of Loving God Church, in the area and with families of their own, they used their spare time to engage in personal evangelism and distribute Bibles among local Arabs. So now they have about 50 former Muslims that meet regularly with them for prayer, worship, and learning more about their new and living faith. Living, key word, living. This particular country has extreme harsh attitudes towards proselytizing, especially attempts to convert Muslims to Christianity. And as the men were sharing the gospel of life on a Sunday evening, a neighbor noticed the goings-on and informed the imam of the local mosque. And they were in their evening prayer that's required of them five times a day. And when the evening prayer had ended and the people learned of the evangelical activity in the neighborhood, an angry mob formed under the leadership of the imam. And they had armed themselves with a variety of weapons and headed to the home. And they burst in on the family. They brutally attacked the evangelist. And they dragged the pastors to the mosque and tied them to a pillar and kept up the beating. Viros and Althoff clutched their Bibles to their chests, but the mob snatched them away, shouting and laughing wildly, and they set the men's Bibles on fire. And the imam told the pastors to leave Jesus and come back to Islam, offering them a number of official state positions if they agreed. But of course, they turned down the appeals. The only fire and sword that matters. Jesus is the Lord and Savior, they bravely declared. He saved us from the sin and death we know and experienced in our own lives. Now we are new creations in Him. You may kill our flesh, but we will have an everlasting life with our Savior in heaven. So we will never lose our faith in Jesus, no matter what happens. Well, of course, that provoked the people even further, and they dragged them in to a cellar and abandoned them there for 3 days without even a drop of water to drink. But the pastors looked to their Lord, and for the entire 3 days and nights they praised and prayed. Being so with their Lord in spirit, they didn't feel any pain, hunger, or thirst, nor were they even aware of the passing time. After the 3 days, the mob handed them over to a terrorist group who threw them into a cellar in another location. For 9 days, they endured more brutal torture and again, no food or water. They were given dire warnings that unless they returned to Islam and joined the fight against Christians and Christianity, they would be killed and their bodies hung in a public place. This proved hardly a threat to the pastors. For the sake of Jesus, they knew they could endure any persecution, and they personally prepared themselves to die, assured of the greatest high hope of living even closer with Christ. So on Friday morning, the terrorists tied the men's hands behind their backs and took them out to an open area. Midday approached and temperatures soared. They told the pastors to kneel down, and when they did, they tied their legs together as well. Two men stood behind the kneeling pastors, wielding a razor-sharp blade. The killers tried to cover the Christian's face, but someone told them not to bother. "Let them see and experience even more fear as they are being executed," they exclaimed. Instead, the pastors looked to their Lord. They watched in amazement as a cloud formed overhead, and they began sensing a refreshing coolness within the cloud. They saw Jesus seated on a throne. Thousands of angels surrounded him. They began praising the Lord joyfully and enthusiastically as they knelt under the shadow of his presence and the cloud-like formation of angels around him. The killers, now even more determined due to the men's praises, were fairly certain no one but the pastors saw the spiritual reality. Brandished their knives over the men's necks, but as they prepared to bring down the blade, both they and their weapons unexpectedly fell to the ground. Fear gripped the onlookers as they heard the pastors loudly praising their Lord, and only intensified as they watched the would-be assassins fall over and helpless and disarmed. The evangelists then witnessed rays of fire emanate from Jesus and down through the cloud toward the witnesses of the execution. Overcome with terror and now extreme heat, the crowd fled. Somehow the pastor's legs and hands were then loosened. Instead of standing up, however, they remained on their knees, praising and thanking their mighty Savior. Both then observed two angels appeared and felt themselves being lifted up. The next thing they knew, they were standing in front of a house. They heard sounds of praise and worship from within the home, so they knocked on the door. A man came and opened the door slightly to have a somewhat fearful peek. When he saw the pastors outside, he could barely contain his joy. Praising the Lord loudly and shouting for the others to come, they were all members of the men's own church, in the midst of prayer and fasting for their pastor's immediate release. Adding to the miraculousness of this story, this was not the location the church had been meeting in before the abduction. Soon after the pastors disappeared, worshippers had noticed several suspicious-looking characters watching their home they'd been meeting in. Concerned, they moved their church to a place many miles away, since they had lost their leadership. Some elders, believers, now led service, which was what was going on when the pastors reappeared. But the pastors, of course, had no idea their congregation had moved. Our Lord, of course, knew, and He Himself arranged and rearranged everything according to His purposes. While the underground believers' Friday prayer and fasting session would have normally drawn to a close by 3 p.m., this one continued many more hours into the night. Both pastors' wives and children had been sick with desperation when the men disappeared 2 weeks ago. Now, of course, they and all who gather with them are overjoyed. You know, that's an amazing story. And we were talking about this last night. And like you said, it's out of the book of Acts. It's just amazing that we're beyond amazing that we're seeing these things go on in this day. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Well, you know it is. And the thing we have here, that is, this is not the first case of really supernatural, miraculous deliverances.
No.
We've reported on them coming out from the Mideast time and time again. Now, all the people associated with Mideast Bible, and they call it that because they give away free Bibles. And you can go and donate money to them, and what they do is buy Bibles. And they're not the only ones saying this. We've had a number of ministries that are on the ground that said whenever a Muslim wants to know about Jesus, they want a Bible. Yeah. And so they give away these Bibles. But they also, you'll find all of the people involved in this ministry are former Muslims who came to know the Lord. And without doubt, there are a lot of miracles and supernatural deliverances that are going on. And many times we've read of even the enemy, the Muslims themselves, who were trying to kill their fellow Muslims for becoming a Christian, are actually do come to the Lord through these miraculous occurrences.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
It is, thank God.
You know, it really does show what is going on overseas. It's a different Christianity, a different total experience than what we have in the West. It doesn't mean we don't have miracles, but
we're not facing the persecution they are.
Yeah, we're not facing what they face. It's our job, being here in America and the West, to make sure we get resources to the brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are going through this. Because these people need food and clothing and shelter, money for Bibles and everything else. And there are ministries working on the ground. Barnabas Aid is working on the ground. Samaritan's Purse is working on the ground. International Christian Concern, Persecution.com, and many, many others are working on the ground. And our job as an advocate here is to bring to you these stories and those who are on the ground working and let you know, number one, there is persecution, which you probably already know, but tell you about the miracles, the signs, the wonders, and what our responsibility is. And to lift up the persecuted church and remind you to pray for them, to remind you to, you know, on your social feed and Facebook, you know, I encourage you to follow us on Instagram, follow us on Facebook, like all of our pages. We got several pages on our Facebook. Go by our website, read the articles, and all the other things on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Send out the tweets again. These are all things that you can do. Now, our ministry is not just advocacy. You know, we do teaching and preaching and warning, but the bottom line of it is that this program here is dedicated to advocating for the persecuted church. Is it not right?
That's right.
And when we advocate, and I'm thinking of this being Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, I seen not too long ago there were people that were advocating, you know, send money to feed, you know, the brethren, the persecuted church. But we have to remember that the needs of the persecuted church goes on beyond Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and all the others. It's year-round they need help.
That's right, they do.
And, you know, I mean, if you can think, you know, what would that be like? I mean, when you actually hear the miraculous. I mean, we get so glued in to secularism and technology here in the West that it's really hard to understand, you know, how such a move of God could actually go on.
Oh, I know.
And so it is very, very important to understand that even in the midst of a Muslim nation where all hell is breaking loose against Christians, God is able to move. And
shows how much God loves everybody.
Yeah.
And he wants to rescue them. He's the giver of life. And he wants to give them that better life in Jesus.
Well, you know, and as we move on, you know, we've reported on Egypt again, and in Cairo there was the Church of St. George that was attacked, and it was a 22-year-old man. He injured two Christians, and he was shouting, you know, the typical Allah Akbar and other Islamic slogans. And it just amazing how in Egypt we see this all the time. And, you know, the Christians never do seem to have someone that'll protect them. It's kind of like the Fulani herdsmen who are killing Christians over in Nigeria. You know, there's been a lot of Christian farmers, Christian families killed and murdered over there by the Fulani Islam, the Muslim herders over there. It's just unconscionable. But when you get in Africa, they have tribal groups, and they, you know, even before America was a nation, these tribes in in Africa, we're killing one another. And if you go down in South America, the tribes were killing one another and even eating each other. And you go in the South Seas, it was the same way. So, you know, it's not like man has never had this kind of thing go on. We have. Man, you know, has been a murderer like Cain since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but today in our civilized world, you know, you'd think, Tower, that we would be civilized.
You'd think.
You would think, you know, but get a grip. No, it ain't going to happen. It just, people are wicked. You know, well, no, we're not. Yeah, you are. You're wicked. Look in the mirror. It's wickedness. It's evil. You need to be redeemed.
Yeah.
And many people won't listen. And, of course, you know, the Democrats are making a big thing out of this Khashoggi deal, and apparently they've got the one prince who's in charge on tape saying that, telling them to go ahead and kill him. Now, I don't know either way, but I can tell you that, you know, Saudi Arabia is one of those things that if you screw up that, Saudi Arabia can really be a dent in the world economic system. And so I don't really know what America is going to be able to do. The Democrats are blaming Trump, of course. And
always. It's always Trump's fault.
Yeah. But see, you know, Egypt has been a mess for a long time. And Christians have been dying for a long time. Nothing ever changes there. And so there are some places we need to emphasize. But, you know, the thing that's interesting here is, you know, is Erdogan in Turkey, who actually wants to create a caliphate to overthrow the West and the world itself, is the one that made the accusations about Khashoggi to America and the world. And so I don't know how they got a tape, but they got a tape. And but, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, the Democrats and others in our political system don't stand up. And, like, you know, we have a young woman that just got freed. She's innocent. She's with her family. And they need to expedite her and get her over here and get her safe.
They do. They need to.
But what are they talking
her.
About? Some guy who happens to be a rich businessman, Khashoggi, got himself killed over there dealing in these volatile countries. Meanwhile, we have Christians around the world getting slaughtered. And I can tell you, outside of a lot of these organizations that we know about, and we've told you some of the names of them, you're not going to find this stuff in the news except from them. And they will send it out. You won't hear a lot of the stories that we're doing and all the stuff that we've been covering. When we covered ISIS going through the Middle East, you know, and we were tweeting things out every day. And, you know, our coverage was our tweets. We made the top 10 list of tweet response for a couple of months there because it was so hot and heavy. And trying to get the word out about what was going on to the Christians there. And they were being slaughtered. And the bottom line of it is that the Democrats are still being Democrats, and they want to flood America with illegals who don't want to come in here legal. They get all upset on everything else, you know. And it reminds me of what the Lord talked about the Jews. You know, he said, you'll choke on a gnat, but you'll swallow a camel. Meaning that they got nitpicky on the little finer points of the law, but you know, the little ones that are inconsequential, but the big ones
they ignored.
Yeah. And so this is what we're doing in America today in the West. And you wonder why you're losing your nations when you have a nation that is doing what we've done, and especially when we talk about the lifestyles, the godlessness, the immorality, sexual immorality. You losing the kids in America because of what you're teaching them. Absolutely perverting the children and the youth today, many of them. And yet we see no problem with it.
I know. It's tragic what's going on.
But see, we are in the end of days. And the good point about what we're talking about is what everybody else is doing, they're going to continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to slide right into the end of days, even more than we are now. But the Lord is still on the throne. And what's so exciting is if God is able to do these things over in some of these countries, he's able to do the same thing here.
Yes, that's right.
And to undertake on our behalf as well. But the problem of it is, look at these two pastors. They were there for 3 days and three nights. You know, I mean, think of it. The Lord was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. So they were there for 3 days, and they were praising God and praying the whole time.
Yeah, and then they were stuck in another place for 9 days.
Yeah, that's out without water. They were without water the whole time.
So what is that, 12 days without food and water?
Yeah, and you're not supposed to be able to live, but somehow, see, Moses went a long time without having anything either because he was fasting before God. He was in the presence of the Lord. So, you know, when was the last time you as a Christian went 3 days, you know, without food and water and did nothing but pray and praise the Lord?
That's right.
And you wonder why these guys saw miracles. And then when they were down there, they continued it for another 9 days. I mean, give me a break.
That's amazing.
You know, most churches don't pray like that. If you added up all the time everybody in the church prayed, you wouldn't get 3 days out of it. Now, there's no way I can prove that, but I can tell you, if you look at the church, you look at America today, the fact that we have very few gospel preachers out there that are really preaching the gospel, we have very few preachers actually preaching holiness like they should. Instead, you know, we have these user-friendly churches in America the way they are.
Yeah.
So what I'm telling you is, as we're going through this, and we're coming to the end of 2018... You know, make no mistake, when you get into 2019, persecution and danger is not going to just stop.
Could ramp up even more.
Yes, it could. And who are you going to look for? You know, and you're not, you know, don't feel guilty. That's not the answer. The answer is to just say before God, I realize now what I need to do. And pray and fast and seek the Lord and get involved supporting the persecuted church and also American church. Pray for it. And, you know, but do something.
It's never too late to change.
Yeah, it's never too late for change. You know, it's just not going to, you know, 2019, oh, goody, 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 we're all going to be great and wonderful and perfect. No, it's not going to happen. The Democrats are not going to change. Pelosi's not going to change. Water's not going to change. You know, Trump isn't going to change. The division is not going to change. But the Lord is on the throne, and he expects his people to change. He expects them to seek him. And if you read John 15, you know, he talks about being the vine and we're the branches. And he says, you need to bear fruit, because if you don't, my Father, who is the husbandman, will come by and will prune. And he'll take off the dead branches and he'll burn them. Now, you need to think about that, because he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And whatever branch doesn't bear fruit, my Father will prune it, take it off, and burn them in fire. Now, that don't sound good.
Uh-uh.
So, it's important to understand where we stand. If you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. John said in 1 John 1, you know, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's time to awaken from the sleep. And, I mean, you know, these women who had their husbands, now they knew very well that their husbands were going into areas that were very, very dangerous. And when you get in some of these countries, If you go out at all as a Christian, number one, they look down on you. Number two, you know, these pastors wouldn't even be able to get into these homes if these Muslims weren't interested.
That's right.
They were in those Muslim homes because there's somebody there that said, well, you know, I want to hear what this guy has to say. Now, what do you think these people are going to think when they hear about what happened and how this guy, these pastors were released and delivered?
Oh, I know. Well, you know, they see the power of God in these men's lives, why, and they want to know that power. They've seen the change, and that's why they're coming to those pastors. They want to know. They don't see that in Islam. It's a dead ideology. There's nothing living about it. And they see the difference, and they want that difference.
Well, you know, no doubt about it, the differences are not going to go away. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that this is the battle today. We don't submit to Islam. We submit to Christ. And we bring the testimony of our God and Savior to the world, no matter who is opposing us.
Amen.
We are here and we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We love not our lives unto the death. And as Revelation warns, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. This is the faith and patience of the saints. This is the real world for Christianity, as far as I'm concerned. And there's a lot of Christians in America that don't like to talk about this. And that's why they go to some of these churches, because these churches are lukewarm. They never talk about this. They never deal with the subject. And they don't mind doing social provision, like the social gospel. You know, you feed people, you clothe people, you help them. And that's all fine and dandy. You join the interfaith movement to help people. But you see, the thing of it is, as was said a long, long time ago, if you take a guy and just give him food and water and a bed, you know, and you provide for him, and you help him get a good job, and he overcomes, the only thing you've done is made a rich sinner out of him instead of somebody redeemed. And so when you bring the gospel and you help others, you have to bring the gospel of deliverance and salvation, or it is not going to help them.
That's right.
And if you get over in Erdogan's territory, and that's how Pastor Brunson got in trouble, if you read the law, and even the ACLJ was talking about this, the very act of giving food or water or clothing or helping an orphanage or anything is the gospel of Christ, and that is not allowed in their country. Any action, because they consider any act of benevolence and love by a Christian the proclamation of the gospel, and you can get thrown in prison for that. China is cracking down. We're seeing it all over the world. And how many of you Christians in America support Walmart when they buy some of, you know, at one time it was a major portion from China. Their ships were huge. They would get out of China. And China now is continuing, not just against Christians, but any and all faiths, except for the ones that they personally have said. So there is a problem here.
Yes.
And you need to think twice about where you're buying your products. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, if I know of some place that is persecuting Christians, you know, I will watch how much business I do with them, if any. And so it's important to get involved. And you can get a lot of information about ongoing things from the ACLJ. And they do everything voluntarily. They do things for us Americans here in America as well. They have a massive ministry. Everything is supported by donations. So make no mistake about it. In order to get somewhere and to make a difference, Christians have to stand up. And without Jay Sekulow and his team standing up, I can tell you, Pastor Brunson wouldn't have got out of there.
Beebe
wouldn't have got out of there, and many of the others. And they've gotten major legislation that they've gone to bat for, and Judicial Watch is another one that stands up. And they were involved in a lot of these recounts. I think his name's Tom Fenton that's in charge of that. So there are people that are fighting for your right to live in this country. Now, don't just sit on your butt and do nothing. Because I can tell you that if America falls, there's not going to be any help for these Christians outside of these shores. Because in the world today, America has been number one on the benevolence and supporting missionaries around the world. You take away the ministry of Franklin Graham and the Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, along with CBN and all the Doctors Without Borders, you ain't going to have nothing left. A few people, but nobody doing on the scale that this country has done. And that's why the devil wants to tear America down, destroy the foundations thereof, because when he does that, then a lot of these missionaries, and there's also missionaries and missions in the UK as well that are standing up. So it's not just America, but you got to understand here, you need to stand up, because there's people standing up while you're being quiet. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Do you want me to talk about the human trafficking?
Well, you know, we're going to have to, you know, we ought to touch a point on it. You know, Tower and I have discussed human trafficking, and to me, this is one of the worst things, worst sins on earth.
I think so. It just tears me apart. I just hate this, what they're doing to the women and children and boys and men.
Can you sum it up? Or go
well, ahead. There's an Assembly of God program working in Spain, I believe. In 2010, Spain was the second highest number, had the second highest number of victims of human trafficking in the European Union after Italy. And these victims come from Spain, or in Spain, come from Nigeria, Romania, Ukraine, Russia, Croatia, Bulgaria, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, and China. And they bring them away from their countries and send them to countries that they don't know the language, they're under threat and in debt, and they do not know that help is available to them. And because they're undocumented, they're afraid to go to the police. And this Project Rescue, an Assembly of God ministry to victims of human trafficking, began in India more than 20 years ago, and it's steadily been expanding into Asia and Europe. And what these people are doing are going down into the areas where known for prostitution. And they're able to meet with the women, give them hope, speak to them, you know, and get help for them. And this is just horrible what they're doing. These people, and I know it's going on in America, and I've read about it, they will use these people, and they can make more money from sex trafficking than they can from the drugs. To me, these people ought to be shot for what they're doing, for money, and
yeah,
ruining people's lives.
Well, Russia has been terrible in that because of the Russian mafia. You know, we know they've always been trouble. And you can just put, you know, it all the way around. Now, see, Italy was one that first came to Asiya Bibi's rescue, but I'm not sure where they're at on this, because it is basically a country that I think don't really want to deal with it, but maybe they do. The one guy that stood up called for his country and for others to help her. But, you know, when you get into this human trafficking, there are just so many groups that'll do this. It's just sickening.
It is. So please pray for the people that are working to free these people. Pray for their safety. Pray for them to get these people delivered out of this. Pray for finances to come in and opportunities for them to help these people and get them out of this pit.
Well, with that, we're going to have to be getting out of here.
Good night, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. We pray for you. We pray for God's blessings over your life. We love you, and we thank you for all you do for Him. Excuse me. God bless you.
Well, folks, we're going to be signing off for the night. And, you know, we do wish you a blessing during this holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we're going to be doing shows all the way through. And so at any rate, stay tuned. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Good night, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
There's a difference between do-it-yourself and do-it-for-a-living. At the Home Depot, we get that. And we're here to help pros get the job done with the products and brands you trust. Technology to keep your job on track. Job site delivery to save you time. And bulk pricing on over 4,000 items every day to save you money. When you've got a job, we're on the job. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.